On Sports, Part 4, The Convention Center. The previous segment was about stadium sports, and this one will leave the stadium and head to the convention center, or local park if it's an outdoor sport, where you can find the minor sports being played. These are interesting in their own way, and I appreciate them, but I realize the participants, and even the most decorated champions, aren't actually all that talented. When I was in middle school, I ran the 100 in a little under 12 seconds and could one-hand dunk a women's basketball. My athleticism continued to increase for a while. As a junior in high school, I could clear 11 seconds in the 100 and double-hand dunk a men's ball, and then it started to decline. I'm now 33. This is the first year of my adult life that my age in years exceeds my vertical in inches, owing equally to the increase of the former and decline of the latter, and also owing to some lumbar pain. But even in my present condition, whenever people ask if I'll come join them in some minor sport that they've been playing for years and I've never once tried, I always score points. And at least 40% of the time, I win. This says a lot about the minor sports of the world. If I'm doing anything for the first time in my life, and I'm competing against someone who's been doing it for years, even the younger version of me, when I was in the peak of my athleticism, should not be able to score a single point, not one. To quote Fred Frank, "It's Randy Johnson fastball stuff. If I were given 100 swings, there might be a tipped foul here and there, but I'm not going to all of a sudden start tagging him deep for a spell." In baseball, if I were to take on the worst professional player in the US, it would be a humiliating experience for me. The same can be said about basketball and football, though probably for different reasons. But in the average non-stadium sport, I'm legitimately competitive as a beginner. As soon as I figure out how to hold the equipment, it's going to be a close game. I might not be winning, but I'm at least threatening, because the most talented and athletic players in these sports aren't actually all that talented or athletic. The major sports are the only events in which you ever see real talent. And the reason is obvious. Every 10-year-old boy in America wants to be a professional baseball, basketball, or football player. And the only reason they stop pursuing that dream, somewhere between age 10 and 20, is because they realize they'll never make it, but they definitely give it a shot, however brief the effort. Whatever the United States Census Bureau reports the total population of American males is, that's the number of people who have wanted to go pro in at least one of those three sports. The selection pool is that big, and only the very best make it. In contrast, how big is the selection pool for the biathlon, or dressage, or fencing, or the canoe slalom? I have no idea, but it doesn't seem unrealistic to assume that maybe one out of every 1,000 Americans applies himself at one of those, and only because he wasn't big enough for football, tall enough for basketball, or talented enough for baseball. So when you see someone receiving a gold medal in canoe slalom, do you really think this is the most talented canoe slalomist America could produce? Or does it seem a bit more likely that about 50% of all the people who never tried it had the genetic potential to be even better than this champion? And could it be that these champions are choosing sports that nobody does because nobody does them? That way they have a reasonable shot at winning? They can pretend to be athletes as they receive their medals? Going one step further, a lot of these sports, a lot of the minor sports, rank their athletes by points, accumulated points, not by a championship like a Super Bowl or a World Series or some sort of Sweet 16 bracket. Instead, points. The more often you participate, the better odds you have at earning points. This is really unfairly biased to the athletes with disposable income. If I can crush you in a particular activity every time we play, but you're ranked higher than I am because you can afford to participate more often than I can, that's not a sport. That's shopping. And you're not an athlete, you're a consumer. And let's go one step further. Pretending people are good at these point-based minor sports today is like pretending Babe Ruth was a great baseball player. Yeah, we all want to believe that Babe was more talented than an obnoxious 21st century high school shortstop with average skills. But he wasn't. It's depressing and definitely not romantic, but it's the truth. The selection pool for baseball wasn't nearly as big in the Jazz Age. Not just because the total population wasn't as big. Athletes weren't famous millionaires back then. So it wasn't every single American boy's childhood dream. It was just this thing that a few people participated in rather than working on a dock somewhere. So there wasn't much competition for major league contracts. It can be tough to illustrate the discrepancy in talent across generations using baseball statistics, though, because they're all relative. Terrible batters still hit 300 if the pitchers are terrible. But if you look at concrete, objectively quantified sports like running, where people are just timed, any generation's times can be compared to any other's. So let's rewind the clock a century and look at the 1912 Olympic Games. The best athletes alive from 28 different nations all competing against each other. That year, the 100-meter dash was won with a time of 10.8 seconds. That was the final heat that won the gold medal. This time was followed by a pair of 10.9s, and fourth place was 11.0. That was me my junior year of high school. I might not have won the Olympics, but I definitely would have been on the podium, without ever training. When I was 19, I ran an 11.1. While weighing over 220 pounds, I was not a runner. If this sounds impressive or at all remarkable, that's only because I'm comparing myself to the Babe Ruths of the world. Today, a great middle schooler can hit 11.1, and a great high schooler can beat that time by a full second. Moving on to the 200-meter dash. In 1912, the gold medal was won with a time of 21.7 seconds. Today's high school record is 20.13 seconds, more than a second and a half faster. In the 400-meter event, the 1912 game saw an Olympic record set at 48.2 seconds. Today's high school record, 45.19 seconds, 3 seconds faster. In 1912, a new world record was set in the 800, a minute 51.9 seconds. Today's high school record, a minute 46.45 seconds, almost 5.5 seconds faster. In the 1500, a new Olympic record was set in 1912 with 3 minutes 56.8 seconds. Today's high school record, 3 minutes 38.26 seconds, 18.5 seconds faster. In 1912, a new Olympic record was set in the 10K, 31 minutes, 20.8 seconds. Today's high school record, 28 minutes, 32.7 seconds, 2 minutes, 48 seconds faster. There was also a new Olympic record set in the marathon in 1912, 2 hours, 36 minutes, 54.8 seconds. Today's high school record is 2 hours, 23 minutes, 47 seconds. That's more than 13 minutes faster. The 1912 world record-setting long jump of 7.6 meters falls over a half a meter shy of today's high school record, 8.18 meters. The 1912 Olympic record-setting high jump of 1.93 meters is more than a third of a meter shy of today's high school record of 2.31 meters. In 1912, the Olympic record for the pole vault was met or broken 18 times before the games ended, with the final record being 3.95 meters. Today's high school record, 5.56 meters, 1.6 meters higher. That's an improvement of over 40%. Today's high schoolers also outperformed the 1912 Olympic record-setting performances in the shot put, using the same shot weight, by almost 35%, discus, same weight, by over 35%, and the javelin by a mere 24%. There isn't a single athletic pursuit in which yesterday's finest are not crushed by today's high schoolers, often met by today's middle schoolers. Babe Ruth, in his prime, might have been an above-average 21st century high school player, but no better than that. He would not have been a star, no scholarships for that one, certainly no pro contract. What does this mean? It means that people who cling to their fandom of the retired are a little bit silly. The athletes they cherish were never good. Ty Cobb, Cy Young, Willie Mays, Joe DiMaggio, Lou Gehrig, Ted Williams. If you want to remember just how amazing these men were, head down to the local ballpark and watch whatever youth league is playing there. The skills being exhibited should take you right back to the glory days. And the glory days of the stadium sport are equivalent to the present day of every minor sport. It's just a product of competition and the selection pool, the ferocity of the former and depth of the latter. So if your fandom is devoted to athletes who receive trophies in the exhibit halls of convention centers, you might consider restraining your reverence a bit. Cheering with a sense of proportion, knowing that today's Babe Ruth of the biathlon, of fencing, of the canoe slalom, is tomorrow's obnoxious middle schooler. CourtneyJensen.com